Hello, this is WFTE at 90.3 Mount Cobb, W289AU, 105.7 Scranton, and WFTE.org. This is Dari Wilson. Our show is called It's About Dogs. I am a certified canine behavior counselor and trainer. This show is intended to be for general advice and tips for dogs and the humans who live with and love them. Without meeting the dog, people observing the behavior or environment, suggestions can only be general in nature. You cannot hold the station or trainer responsible if the suggested methods or tips do not work and the unwanted behavior continues. Remember, there is always more than one way to address a problem. An aggressive animal may still be aggressive in certain situations. Okay, let's get started. On tonight's episode of It's About Dogs, we have a special guest. We have Robin Teets, and she's going to tell us about the West Highland White Terrier. Hi, Robin. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. Thank you so much for having me, and I get a chance to talk about these little white dogs that I have come to adore.
And I know Robin, and I've met some of her dogs, and they're wonderful. A lot of people have seen them on television, but they really don't know much about them. So can you give us some history and some background, how they were developed and why they were developed?
Yes, of course. I can. As a matter of fact, you've probably seen one of my dogs on television. It was the featured dog for in Dogs 101 when they featured West Highland White Terriers. It was one of those dogs. So Rescues are wonderful. They were bred in Scotland. In the 1800s, I think they started. They were certainly a recognized breed by the beginning of the 1900s. So they're a very old Scottish breed, one of the older terrier breeds. In Scotland, there were a number of terriers developed. There was the Scottish Terrier, the Skye Terrier, the Cairn Terrier, Dandie Dinmont, and West Highland White Terriers were just a part of that mix for a long time. And the story goes that a very prominent breeder of working terriers accidentally shot one of his dogs, thinking it was a fox. And he vowed at that time that he would only breed white dogs so that he would never mistake them for quarry again. So that's how, supposedly, West Highland White Terriers became a distinct group and variety as well as the other terriers. West Highland White Terriers were, and all terriers in Scotland and in the British Isles in general, were very much working dogs. They had to entertain the children. They had to be sort of a guard dog. But most of all, they had to be very diligent in getting rid of vermin. That's an extremely important job for poor farmers, because any rodents or any kind of vermin that damaged the crops in any way could literally take food out of your children's mouth. So they took getting rid of vermin very, very seriously, and they developed terriers to do that. Terriers that are even better to me, they're even better than cats. Everybody thinks of cats getting rid of mice, but if you pick a terrier out to get rid of a mouse, it's going to be gone. I have horses. Many of you, you already know, Joy, that I have horses, but I have a horse, and one time I went to the barn and somebody had brought a terrier, and when I came, the terrier was diligently by this little hole, looking at it intently, just, you could tell, waiting for the mouse. So I got my horse ready, I rode the horse, I brought the horse back, cooled the horse down, cleaned my pack, the dog was still there, waiting for the mouse. I think a cat would have given up and taken a nap a long time, you know, before that, but that dog was absolutely intent on it. That's the kind of intensity that the Scots bred into their dogs. And I don't know many Scots, but I think, judging from the dogs that they bred, they must have been feisty and self-reliant, and they must work hard and play hard, because that's the kind of dogs that they bred. I'm a really big proponent of people understanding what a dog was bred to do, because I think that that gives you a very big clue into their behavior. Uh-huh. And genetically encoded traits are very, very difficult to train out of a dog. So If you look at dogs and what they're bred to do, if you can't live with something they were bred to do, better not to get that dog. So if you look at carriers, I think there's the most evident probably in carriers and in hounds, because carriers were bred to go in holes and in dens after vermin. To do that, you have to be, first of all, incredibly brave. So swinging, if you even corner a chipmunk, they fight like crazy, you know, if their life is in danger. So you can imagine they're going after much bigger prey than chipmunks. So these dogs had to be brave and tenacious and stubborn and hardworking, and they didn't have anybody telling them what to do. So that gives you a little bit of clue as to what carriers are like. They're very tenacious, hardworking, not necessarily good at having people tell them what to do, although they are not nearly as bad as you might think, but they, you know, they're used to thinking on their own, and they're used to being very independent that way. I often tell people that I meet, if you, the difference between a terrier and a golden retriever, if you would take a golden retriever somewhere, the golden would, if he could speak, would look up at you and say, whoa, nice place, what are we going to do while we're here? If you took a terrier or someplace like that, the terrier would go, whoa, nice place, listen, don't worry about me, I'm busy, call if you need me. That's pretty much what they're like. They're off doing their own thing. So they're very self-reliant, which to me makes them a wonderful, wonderful pet, and actually almost a perfect pet for a modern family, because they don't have to be coddled. They're very self-reliant, and, you know, they don't have to be modeled and coddled every moment. They're very independent dogs. They're feisty and ready for anything, but happy to do their own thing.
Now, do they have a high activity level?
Absolutely. I mean, they do. They are not, you know, they're in a small body, but they're a very big dog. And they're not little toys, like, you know, they're not part of the toy group. They weren't bred to be, you know, companions in that way, you know, just sit on your lap or anything. They're not. They really are active, boisterous, feisty dogs. They need activity. They really do need activity. And I often tell people, like, make sure you give them a job. They need a job, or else they'll find something to do. And they maybe chew your favorite shoes or your furniture or other things. So I think everybody always should take, when they're getting a dog, take them to a beginner's classes and so forth, because it gives you a different relationship with your dog. It gives you a chance to make sure the dog understands you're the leader. And that's nowhere more true than with carriers.
So a fence yard is a must, but will they also dig out from under the fence yard? We're talking about a fence that goes down into the earth?
Well, I don't, they can be bigger, for sure. I mean, there's no question about that. I don't have a fence that goes underneath, and my dogs have never dug out from underneath of it, so I haven't had that problem.
But your dogs also have a job, and they have activity.
Yeah. That's exactly right. That is the key. My dogs have a job, many jobs, actually. I'm involved in lots and lots of things, and more things the better. You could have some problems if they're not mentally and physically stimulated enough. But I don't know that a fence yard is absolutely a must. It's awfully nice. But if you're an active person, if you love to go for walks and, you know, do things like that, they're real happy to do that, and that's probably sufficient. If you're willing to just sit and throw the ball and play with them and exercise them that way, you can do that as well. I think they're pretty good dogs for a little more confined living, but you have to make sure you do your part.
So it could be an apartment dog as long as it was exercised quite a bit.
Yes, exactly.
So it doesn't need the room to run like a sight hound or something.
No. It does not need room to run like that. Sometimes it's better not to let them have too much freedom and they can get into trouble. But, you know, it's always individual. Everything is always
right.
So individual with them. But, yeah, just you have to mentally and physically stimulate them. Just, they love to do things. And if you don't have any rats around your house to kill, you can find something else, and they'll be happy to join you in whatever endeavor you like. Just keep them busy.
How are they with children?
I always think a dog like that is wonderful with a little older children. They're not good at tolerating rough behavior, which little kids tend to do.
Right.
But older kids, I can't imagine a better dog because they have just endless energy. They're always up for a game. They're always up to play. They're, to me, perfect dogs. Perfect dogs for that. So, good with kids. I would say they're very good with kids. I love terriers and kids together.
Well, I know some absolutely wonderful terriers with children, and I know some that aren't quite, but that's not breed-specific, that's dog-specific.
Yeah, that's dog-specific. You can always, I know some people are wonderful with children and some are not. You know, any species, any particular being within any species can be good or not good. But I think in general, they're good. Everyone that I've seen has been very, very good with older children. And I think that's pretty true of every breed. It's better for the children to be a little bit older.
How are they with other animals in the house? Other dogs, possibly cats? We know you don't want to keep a rabbit and a terrier together.
No, I would not keep one of them if you have any other little types of animals. If you like guinea pigs and hamsters, and things like that, don't get a terrier. Don't get a Westie, don't get any type of terrier. I promised a friend of mine that I would watch her cockatiel while she went away on vacation, and I brought the cockatiel in the house, and in the cage, no problem. I turn around to turn off my alarm, which goes off when I open the door, and I hear this terrible squawk, and I look, and I see that the bird had gotten just a little bit too close to the cage, and my dog had torn out all of its tail feathers. Completely gone. Oh, my. I had to get that poor bird back with no tail at all.
But they do grow back.
But they do grow back, yes. They grow back. But it was very, very embarrassing. But, and she never asked me to bird sit again. But, don't keep one if you have any of them. Other little animals, but with other dogs, again, it's socialization. You have some that are not so good with other dogs, but in general, I think they're very social and they get along very, very well with other dogs.
And they could be okay with cats if they were introduced at an early age.
Yeah, exactly. They can be okay with cats if they are introduced, exactly. I have to say, if a cat ran, I would be worried. Anything that runs, you know, it's like, probably not as bad as a sight hound, which anything that runs is really fair game, but I'd be really careful. But yes, if you could introduce them early enough, they probably would be okay with cats.
Now, since they are white, I know a lot of our listeners think that it would be a very difficult dog to groom and take care of, but not so, right, Robin?
No, they have a wiry type of coat. They don't have a soft coat like a Bichon or a poodle or something like that. Their coat is very wiry, and they were meant to go in holes and get really, really dirty, and if you had to give them baths every time they did that, that wouldn't have worked very well in Scotland in the 1800s. So they actually, their coat sheds dirt very, very well. If you just let them dry out, brush it out, they generally tend to be fine. If you can brush them every day, they would probably stay pristine, pretty much. And I really do advocate that anybody does that. Westies definitely have to be groomed. They're just a mess if they're not groomed.
Now you have to strip out the dead, longer wire hair so the new ones will grow, right?
You can do it two ways. Stripping is certainly an option. That mimics the way that dogs were groomed in Scotland. You know, they ran through the brush and they had their hair pulled out. And so it kind of mimics that, and that will give you a very proper coat, wiry proper coat. But most people do not do that. You know, that's a pretty time-consuming and not difficult, but a little bit difficult to learn exercise, but you can take it to a groomer. They will clip it with clippers. It'll look fine. It will look very nice, and it'll be beautiful. But you just have to, you have to know if you get one, they have to be groomed. But, you know, you can learn to do it yourself, but most people pay a professional groomer. But you can keep them white. They really are not difficult to keep white at all. My dogs, which I do strip, I think my little girl, who is 5 years old, maybe has gotten 2 baths in her whole entire life. My little boy, who is a big top show dog, he's gotten, I don't know, maybe 3 baths or so in his whole life. That's it.
It's a really wet and wear kind of coat. And there's not much dog odor to a terrier either. It's not like,
no.
Oh my gosh, wet dog.
No, not at all. You know, that's one of the wonderful things, that they don't have that doggy odor at all. I have heard that they're hypoallergenic. I can only speak for myself in that regard. I'm a little bit allergic to dogs. Not terrible, but I can't really get them close to my face. But Westies don't bother me at all. Now, I've heard that they're considered hypoallergenic. They don't shed much at all. I rarely see hair anywhere. So they're very, very good that way. But I always caution people, if you do have a reaction to dogs of any kind, if you're thinking about getting a dog, go to a breeder, spend some time with their dog, see if you're affected by it. It's so much better to do that and find out before you ever get one. And rather than to get one and find out you can't keep it, that's tragic for everybody.
Well, I do want our listeners to know that this is also a very lively and fun breed that does like to interact with their humans and play games and go for walks and do things. You know, I don't want them to think that it's just this little hunting dog that runs around to get the mice.
They
do enjoy being with their humans and playing games such as, you know, throw the tennis ball down the living room hall 6 times. That's a great
game. Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Anything that you want to do, they're happy. They'll join in. There's just throw a ball, go swimming, just run around in the yard, play tug of war, anything that you want. They're very portable. Their size is wonderful for that. You can just, you know, zip them in anywhere and go, and they are very social. They love to be with you. They love to mix around with other people, and they're wonderful dogs. They're funny and spicy, and I can't imagine a better dog than them. Quite sense of humor, all lively.
If somebody's interested in getting a Westie, where should they go to start looking?
I think that almost everybody has the internet these days. Go to the West Highland White Terrier Club of America, and they have a website. They have a breeder directory. It's really, I cannot emphasize enough, it's really, really critical for anybody considering a Westie or any terrier to go to a reputable breeder. Don't go to a pet store, because they have enough genetic predisposition to some issues, you know, being aggressive and all that, that you really want to be very, very careful that you get your dog from somebody who knows them, who really has bred and is careful about making family dogs.
And if there is a rescue within that site as well, if somebody might be interested in an older, say, 7 or 8 year old dog.
That is so wonderful. Yes, they have a rescue. And we helped rescue a number of dogs. And that's a really wonderful, wonderful way to get one at little to no cost.
And a little less activity level, because it is an older dog.
It's a little older. Exactly. But that's wonderful for a lot of people, because there are many people who couldn't deal with the activity level of a young dog. So that's a great way. But go to the Westie site, the West Island White Terrier Club of America, and find a breeder. But breeders, it's essential, absolutely essential that you do that
And be prepared to be interviewed by your breeder. They're going to want to make sure that your home and your environment is going to be right for their dog. So you just can't call up a phone number and say, I want a Westie, I'll be there, how much is it? It takes a little while. You might be on a waiting list for the right match. If this is a dog that you truly love, you will be patient and wait for it.
Yes, that's exactly right. The person, I have a mentor who is absolutely wonderful at matching people and dogs. And it may take a year. It may not take that long, but it could. If you have specific requirements, but she is so wonderful at that, that I do think that it borders on genius. But she absolutely will not give you a dog, let you have a dog that doesn't suit the situation that you have, and that is priceless beyond measure.
A good breeder will help you with your dog no matter what breed. If you have an issue or a problem, they will help you through it. They will direct you to the right kind of trainers for your dog, and it's a wonderful resource to ask silly questions. Now, I know you have Westies. Can you tell us a little bit about how many you got and what you do with them?
Anything you can imagine, I do with them. I started out with my little girl, Kiki. She's Dawn's goodbye girl. And she was just the epitome of everything I wanted in a dog. She actually is me in canine form. It's really uncanny. Everything she does, fast, do it right, do a good job, you know, whatever it is, get it done. And so she introduced me to performance sports in a big way. We started out with Rally, which Rally is kind of like user-friendly obedience type of thing. And that's what I call it anyway. And she was very, very good at that. We went all through the levels of that. We did tracking. Westies are actually very, very good tracking dogs. So she is a brilliant tracker. So we got a tracking dog, excellent title in that. Agility, we do agility. She's a wonderful agility dog, really, really fast and good. Just that lure coursing she wasn't that great at, and she's not a super good earth dog. She hasn't figured out the rest or something that you bark at, or she goes through that tunnel and gets to the end of the tunnel and goes, okay, let me out. It's hot in the air. She's red snow. I don't know. She's funny that way. But she's been a great dog, and she's, you know, and more to come. But I keep her busy. But she, as long as there's a treat in it, she's willing. I have some friends who are very adamant that she should work for just praise, or she should just work because I asked her to. And I do understand that way of thinking, but I also know that I wouldn't work without pay. So it depends. If she needs a treat, she needs a treat.
Well, Robin, I have dachshunds. It's a very similar dilemma that we're in here, you know?
Oh, really? Okay. Yes, you know, if a little food is all it takes to get her to do it, I'm fine about that. So, but I came to have a little boy as well, a male, and he came a couple years after Gigi, and he's magnificent. It's very, very funny because his personality is very much like my husband. He's very accomplished. He's a little more quiet. He's a little more reserved. But he's done tons. He's very smart. He also has titles in tracking and rally, and we're working on obedience, and he has earth dog titles and all kinds of agility, and we have earth dog titles and all kinds of things. But he's actually won 18 best in shows, all these best in shows.
Wow.
So,
well,
yeah.
It sounds to me like you give your dogs an absolutely wonderful Westie life and the opportunity to try different things, and what they like is what you go with. This is one of the things that we talk about on the radio show quite often, is find an activity with your dog, even if it's a mixed breed and it's a walk in the park once a week. Get your dogs out there and have a wonderful time. And I'd like to thank you, Robin, for being with us and telling us a bit about the West Highland White Terrier, and just give us the parent club you know, what the name of the parent club is so somebody can do a Google search and find them if they're interested in learning more about this breed?
Sure. It's the West Highland White Terrier Club of America. You can just use the initials WHWTTA, West Highland White Terrier Club of America. And they have a beautiful website, and you can look up anything that you need to know, get breeder directories, the history of Westies, what they're like. I think it even has a little interactive questionnaire. You can find out if a Westie is right for you. It's a really great website and a great resource for anybody looking for Westies.
Well, Robin, I want to thank you very much for being with us tonight. And if you're interested in a Westie, go to the resource and find it out. Thank you, Robin.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Andy.
I want to thank Robin again for telling us about the Westies. I also want to remind our listeners that if you have a question,
I'm sound like an idiot. Thank you, God.
Or you just want to talk about the wonderful